Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. Well, on Divine Intervention, we don't just drink wine from the Cape, we drink other great products from South Africa. And today, it's a beer. And why not? Because, after all, not everybody drinks wine all the time. Many people prefer to have a beer with their meals. And today, we are not only tasting the beer, but we've got someone from the brewery with us. One of the forces behind this beer. But before I introduce the beer, let's go quickly down to the Cape and talk to our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier. Hello, Michael. How are you?
John, I'm great, thank you. Really looking forward to this tasting.
Likewise. And here in the Joburg studio, there are three guests with me today. We have Stuart Thompson, who is not only from the world of finance, but is also, on this occasion, wearing his beer hat. We have the South African Institute of International Affairs chief economist, Ian Cruikshanks, who many people will know from his multiple TV appearances, radio appearances, writings and comments. And last, certainly not least, we have our technical engineer and a very astute palate, Malcolm MacDonald from Tersar. So, gentlemen, good evening and welcome.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Okay, that's the people out of the way. Now for the important part, the beer. It's a Loxton Lager. And before we ask Stuart for a little bit of background to it, Michael, what can you tell us about it?
Well, the thing that I like about this beer, first of all, it's really, really well packaged. I mean, there's no doubt as to what it is and where it comes from. I was interested in this beer. Stuart and I started talking quite a long time ago about craft beer, and he eventually very kindly sent me some. And it was interesting. We had a group of my son's friends around, and we did a tasting. And there was general 100% approval. What I like about it is it's got a lovely mouthfeel. It reminds me of the sort of Czechoslovakian beers in a way, but it's got this incredible sort of diverse complexity of flavors. I mean, there's anything from sort of Fynbos honey to citrus, sort of soft citrus like Clemmingold or Nachi there, and then of course this lovely sort of Karoo herbal flavors that are in the wine. I love the sort of floral notes as well. Great palate, complex, deep.
Michael, you just said it's a wine. I know it's as complex as a wine, but it's a beer.
Did I say wine?
Yes, you did.
I would let you go with that, and I'll tell you why. Firstly, just to say I'm blushing from top to toe, but that the talk of this approval from the Afrikaanders from the Cape is very, very embarrassing, but thank you very much. But when you talk about it in the wine space, that does no harm at all. Where it's working, if I can say it, where it's getting pulled out in the marketplace is very much on wine lists of restaurants. So places like the local grill, La Cucina di Ciro, these places are offering it almost as an alternative to the nice wine by the glass spaces. So chaps having a working lunch, they're having one of these, which is probably two glasses, and that's getting them back to work in a suitably lightly exhilarated shape, which I think is excellent. And a lot of the converts to the taste kind, there are two kinds of craft beer. The one kind is slightly more image-driven or protest against big business. But the craft or microbrew that is taste-biased, a lot of the adherence to that are coming from the wine space.
Okay, well, I have to say, I'm thoroughly enjoying this. It is a complex beer. It is more than just a lager that you drink as cold as possible on a hot day. You could drink this all year round and still enjoy it. Thank you for introducing us to this, Mr. Olivier. But what do I know? Mr. Cruikshanks, are you enjoying this?
Very much. And, you know, having been a dyed-in-the-wool Castle Lager fan for cooling down purposes only, to swig it back and say, okay, that helps, this is so different. The complexity is what really interests me. And there's just a little recognition of those herbs that we tasted earlier. And, you know, when thinking about it, you say, wow, that is a lot of complexity. And it's interesting. unlike a regular South African lager. And I think that makes it just the sort of thing to have before a meal, maybe with a meal, which is quite unusual for local beers.
Interesting and pleasurable. Yes. What do you think, Malcolm McDonald?
Absolutely loving this. This is a very exciting development in South Africa, I think. I'm a bit of a snowboarding fan, and I go to Austria and to Germany quite often. And some of the really nicely spiced up Weiss beer that you can get up there, very reminiscent of that. And exciting that we can get this in a local product.
And Michael Olivier, what in your mind is the difference between a beer and a craft beer?
Well, I'm sorry that I said wine earlier along, but I think of this kind of beer in those terms. It's something that you drink with food. And, I think that if you sort of think of a really nice piece of pork that's perhaps rolled and got some nice crackling on the outside and some sort of fruity sauce with it, this would be the absolutely perfect answer. Or chicken with I know mangoes aren't in season now, but I was thinking of sort of a lightly curried mayonnaise and slices of ripe mango would be just perfect.
Because, of course, Stuart, many people think beer and curry, that's the classic combination, but it goes far wider than that.
Yeah. And I think we must be clear, beer and curry as a notion was valid in the days of things like the India Pale Ales. It's not a smart thing. If you're battling with a hot curry and you put Castle Lager on it, you're going to wish you hadn't. I'm delighted to hear and flattered again that Michael picked up that mouthfeel. The level of gassiness in this, or carbonation, is much lower than what the mega beers do. They talk about, they measure carbonation by volumes, so they would normally put 3.5 volumes of CO2, of carbon dioxide, into a unit of beer. We're putting in about 2.2, 2.25, so it's much less gassy. The gas stimulates your tongue, revs up your taste buds, and so with a curry, you're going to get a lot more. This has got substantially more ingredients, which is one of the reasons why it's expensive, apart from its very small scale. And also, Michael's remarkable breadth of palate picked up that East European-y thing. You know, our goal here has been very much that East European lager, something more like a Pilsner Urquell than an American standard lager. It's fascinating. If you read the sort of the beer geek notes, they will tell you that in American standard lager or American light lagers, a strong flavor is a sign of a defect. Quote. So if you can taste it, there's something wrong. Now, what we've done here is our goal for the core, and it's a proper cold, you know, we've got glycol jackets on the fermenters and everything, so it's a cold lagered, cold fermented, and then lagered afterwards in cold storage for quite a while. And so that's the core, and then we've got this three-pronged attack, which is the honeys which we get from typically from the Bavians Kloof in the Southern Cape, the Buchu from the mountains around Clan William, and then that Northern Karoo indigenous herb. So a lot of complexity, and it's been quite a journey to get the balance right. Some of my early brews, I don't mind telling you, were a bit vicious. So if we opened a bottle indoors, it tended to blister the paint on the ceiling. and I think we're a little bit closer now to where we're really hoping to be, which is a beer with a slightly broader appeal and manageability. And we really are getting fantastic feedback at the moment from people who are finding it in the marketplace.
And what sort of business is it? Is this going to make you a fortune, or is it just a hobby? Or how does it fit into your life?
At the moment, it's a sort of hobby which is awkwardly escaping. So I started, as one does, in the garage with a plastic bucket. And plastic bucket brewing is fantastic, but you only really get, if things go well, you might get 2 cases out of a batch. And then we started servicing the local grill, which was the first restaurant to take the plunge. And then it became 2 buckets, then 4. At one stage, 9 buckets, which is a huge problem for a bloke. You know, women could do that because they can multitask. But for a man to try and manage 9 different buckets was really too much. So then we scaled up, and we were lucky enough to get the facilities of on a contract brew basis of a chap in Lanseria. And now we've had to scale up again, so we're now with a slightly bigger contract brew called Brew Hogs in Kyalami. So the thing has escaped. A lot of people think that, you know, if you've got a beer, you must be making millions. It's not quite the case. It's a substantial investment-hungry business. And yeah, it's intriguing. It's going to be intriguing to watch because, you know, the big brewers in America now, the biggest craft beers over there belong to Budweiser and SAB Miller. So, that, you know, they can play the same game. And a lot of the image aspects of, you know, the hipsters and the craft and the sexy design, they do rather well. So what we have to do is just concentrate on taste, on pleasing palates in the local environment, and then we'll see where it ends up. There's no way to know just yet.
Now, Michael, if we lived in most European countries, in Britain, we'd be able to go into our local supermarkets and buy beer and whiskey and indeed most booze. Here in South Africa, it's pretty much restricted to wine in the alcohol section. I don't think you can even find ports. Surely that must be holding back the South African beer industry, or are people just used to going to bottle stores, do you think?
I think people are used to going to bottle stores. You know, when the grocer's wine license was first brought out, I think it was 1975, it was essentially, there was a deal between the wine producers and SAB at the time, and which is why you can't get anything over 14% alcohol in wine in a supermarket, which is why you can't buy the fortifieds and the ports and the sherries and this kind of wine. And why, in fact, a lot of wine makers ensure that their wines are 14% or just under.
Ian, your thoughts on that? It strikes me as bizarre. If booze is bad for you, don't sell it.
Yes.
If it's not bad for you, sell it all.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, where does one find it in the retail market? Because I haven't seen it. So maybe you could take that as a small criticism. Not that I'm out in the bottle store every week, but I haven't
every
seen
day,
it.
Every day, every
day. At least twice.
So that's an inquiry of interest.
No, well, the availability would be Solly Kramer's, Parkhurst, Parkview, Norman Goodfellows, and then a bunch of restaurants very much in this area. It's on tap, available at 44 Stanley at your sort of age group, you know, the groovy set hangout there, and a couple of the Hogshead pubs. So, you know, it rolls out as it rolls out, and it's quite interesting that, because if you can push it out as fast as you like, and so far what's happened with Loxton is it's really been drawn out by customer demand on a case-by-case basis. It is available to some extent in Cape Town. I think, Michael, you went to Roland Liquors. I don't know if you've met Marnie yet. I mean, he's a real beer evangelist and highly knowledgeable, and stocks a gorgeous range of beer right in the middle of Cape Town in Roland Street.
Malcolm MacDonald, your thoughts. Presumably, there's something slightly chic for young people like you in drinking a beer that isn't available in every corner bottle store.
Sort of beer to me, not really about the style. It's about really enjoying the taste. To me, I suppose there's different people who have different views on why you would drink a craft beer, as you've mentioned earlier. For me, it's about the taste, and this is really exciting. I really want to find out where I can get it. And you know, I forget the name of that one. The yellow Weiss beer has been my favourite, but this has just overtaken it. So, you know, well done. I think this is really awesome.
Excellent. Well, orders will be flowing from now on. our tasting studio will have to get a pump in here, I think. Michael, thank you very much indeed for introducing us to Loxton. I'm afraid we're out of time for this particular podcast, but I believe we'll be trying a beer again next week, and we'll see. We'll compare and contrast, but obviously many beers have many varieties, as indeed with wine.
Absolutely. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks for your time. And of course to Stuart Thompson from Loxton, thanks for introducing us to your child. what a wonderful child, and so well behaved as well.
Thank you.
Unlike my two other studio guests,
Ian
Cruickshanks and Malcolm MacDonald. I'm John Fraser. This has been Divine Intervention, or De Beer Intervention even.